95.1, The One.
And we're off and running yet again. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. 95.1, The One, and AM 1080. Glad you could join me here this morning. We've got a lot of activities going on, and one including is, of course, the Kentucky Derby is going off today. Believe it or not, yeah, they got 19 horses running today, so I just want to know, who do you think is going to win today's Kentucky Derby so I can put my money on that horse? So with that said, we have studio at kymnradio.net. It is our email. If you have any questions, you can certainly apply them there. Just simply go to studio at kymnradio.net. Send us your questions that you may have, and we'll try to answer them if we could. Nick Connor with the robotics team is in studio today, and they had an outstanding performance at the robotics competition here just a couple of weeks ago. So he wanted to recap that and just kind of see how they did and what our expectations are for the future. So if you got any questions that have to do with robotics, anything at all, how to participate, how to take part, how to be a supporter, or whatever that may be, all you got to do is go to studio at kymnradio.net. And then, of course, this morning on Meet the Raider, we're going to have Grant Selko, who you'll be hearing shortly from on the Raider scoreboard as well. He'll be coming up. We'll learn a little bit more about Grant as well. But again, the studio at kymnradio.net. The two horses that got scratched, I believe, Rodriguez, number four, the number four horse, was going out at 12-1. And they got scratched on that one. And then I think it was the horse, Grand Horse, 20-1 odds, was scratched this morning as well. So there are 19 horses remaining in the competition for this afternoon's race. Who do you put your money on? Studio at kymnradio.net. With that said, let's take a look at what the weather forecast calls for today. It is going to be wunderbar. That's all I can tell you. That's wonderful in German, for those who are not familiar with that. So today, sunshine. That's all I'm going to say. Sunshine, calm winds, high of 62. Beautiful. Tonight, mostly clear, cooling off to around 43. Then tomorrow, sunshine again, 74. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, cooling off to 47. My goodness, I'm going to have to take Monday off. Sunny skies and 72. Can you believe that? Monday night, mostly clear, cooling off again at 48. Sunny and 77 for Tuesday. I quit. I'm out of here. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. I got to go. This is just too unbelievable to believe that this weather is so fine here in the first week of May. Well, what else has been going on? That's a good question. Grant Selko joins us in the program this morning. Good morning, Grant. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Raiders. I'm your host, Grant Selko, for this week's scoreboard. Our girls' golf team competed in an invitational this past Monday, but we have no results for that meet since it got canceled halfway through due to severe weather. Other cancellations include boys' golf versus softball versus Kasson, and boys and girls lacrosse teams against Owatonna. The girls' golfers got back on the green the next day on Tuesday, getting second place out of three teams, falling to Owatonna with a score of 375. Annika Johnson got second with 79, and Karina Johnson got fifth with 88. The girls' track and field team competed in Albert Lea on Tuesday, facing off against Albert Lea and Mankato West. Micaiah Patrika placed first in the 400 with a time of 1 minute, and the top four spots were all Raiders in the 1 mile, and Anna Forward won the 2 mile. The boys' track team also faced Albert Lea and West on Tuesday. Their highlights consisted of Savion Severson winning the 200 meter and winning the 4x1, 4x4, and 4x8 relays. Our boys' baseball team faced off against Albert Lea away on Tuesday, winning with a whopping score of 26-6. They played Red Wing here at home on Thursday, winning a close game 4-3. Michael Stewart had two of those runs for the Raiders. They played Stewartville for the last game of this week, where they won easily 7-0. The girls' golf team also played Albert Lea on Tuesday, winning a close game with a final score of 10-9. They played Red Wing on Thursday as well, winning that one 9-5. The girls' lacrosse team played a section rival in Owatonna on Tuesday, losing a tough matchup 1-15. Claire Holman had the one goal for the Raiders, and they played another game on Thursday against Rochester Century, losing this one as well, 5-15, against the Panthers. The boys' lacrosse team also played Owatonna on Wednesday, winning a close overtime game with a score of 14-13 in favor of the Raiders. Brothers George and Oliver Peterson have 4 goals each. They played Rochester later that week on Thursday, narrowly winning another overtime game by 1 point with a score of 11-10. Bridger Riley and Grant Selko also had 3 goals apiece. The boys' golfers hosted an invitational here at home on Thursday. They ended up getting the school record with a team score of 290. Elias Eckert got 2nd individually with a score of 69, and Miles Poole got 3rd individually with a score of 70. That's it for this week's scoreboard on the Raider Wrap. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to KYMN 95.1 The One.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Your business is a vital piece of the Northfield area economy, and the economic health of the business community is vital to your business. Stay connected by becoming a member of the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you forge relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and make strong connections with other Northfield business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our economy, and they want to help you stay connected. Go to northfieldchamber.com, sign up, and take your business to the next level.
Well, thanks, Grant, for the update on our Raiders scoreboard. So our Raiders teams making their way through the spring events. Don't forget, again, I'm opening it up. I'm opening things wide open. Nick Connery is our guest this morning on the robotics team. He is going to be on here. He's going to be participating. We're going to talk a little bit about the competition. But also, I want to hear from you. Studio at kymnradio.net. You got a question for him? Go ahead and send it over here to studio at kymnradio.net, and we'll be more than happy to try to move that question along and see if there's any answers we can come up with. I'm sure we can make something up. Nick, congratulations on an outstanding season. Not exactly national champions, but hey, you represented well up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we felt so. This is, I think, probably our 4th year in a row where we felt like we've been, you know, improving. And overall, out of 47 teams, our official place was 25th. But if you look at the scoring, we actually averaged the 13th most points out of all 47 teams there. So that was really exciting.
Okay. Last time I did math, if you're the 25th, but you had the 13th best score.
Yeah.
Help me out
there,
buddy.
So basically, like, we had, I think it was 12 qualification matches. And every one of those matches, you there are 3 robots versus 3 robots. And you're paired up randomly with other robots. So your official place kind of depends a little bit on your luck in that. And we had a couple matches where we had some bad luck. One match where we were with the 5th highest ranked robot, and they broke during the match. And we ended up losing that match by 10 points. So that's a little bit like, there's a bit of luck involved in there. And so the rank, you know,
they broke and you won. Or you lost.
We lost.
They broke and you lost.
Yeah. So okay. if they had been going, we would have won that match pretty easily, probably. So because they were with us on our alliance. So
this was a tag team event.
Yes. Yeah. So it's 3-on-3. They were on our alliance and they broke down. So
bummer.
Yeah. So we're
kick
we're
kick them to the curb. Nick, huh? You send him home. Just say, get out of here.
We've been that robot before, okay. So we got to have a little grace towards our teammates when they happen.
Where were they from?
I can't even remember what team that was. It's really a rush when you have 12 matches over 2 days, and but you know, hey, we're gonna hang our hat on 13th highest scoring robot. Our robot looked really good, other than one major repair we had to make after our practice matches. It went really smoothly overall.
So I believe you said the winner came out of New Brighton?
New Brighton. Yep, they're a team called Nightcrawler. They're
sneaky, are they?
Yeah, I don't know. They're usually one of the top teams that we in the state, and they've got a really good program. So, yeah.
What did they do anything different? Because when you were on here last time, we talked about what you guys did, and so you create this robot. The robot goes in, and it picks. It's at the end, it has to pick itself up.
Yeah.
So, was their design any different? Any, I mean. Was it a cool color?
Well, it was a cool color, yeah. A lot of teams, they powder coat the aluminum on their robot. We don't do that. We're not quite at that point yet. But the big difference in their robot is, like, one of the game pieces was a 4.5-inch PVC pipe, about, like, 1 foot long segment. And you can pick them up at a place called the They called it the Coral Station because it's supposed to represent coral, I guess. I don't know. The theme was an underwater theme.
Was it green? At least was it bluish green?
No, it's just it was white PVC. Oh, that's okay. All. I don't know. So
I don't know much about coral, but I do know that it is colored. But
yeah.
Anyway,
so there's a place you could go get some where a person would feed it down a ramp onto your robot, and that's what most robots. That's how they got it. Theirs had a ground intake that could pick it up off the ground. So then the person at the ramp would just, like, chuck out tons and tons of these PVC things. And then they would just go quickly back and forth and scoop it up off the ground and score it. Scoop it off the ground.
Kind of like a Roomba vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was the big difference for them. They could do it so quickly because they could get it off the ground.
And so every time they picked one up, that was points.
Yep.
So the most. So what was that, like a 90-second duration period? Or?
Our matches are 2 minutes 30 seconds long.
Okay.
So yeah. So if, like, our cycle times, that's the term of, like, how quickly you can pick something up and score it, were like 10 to 11 seconds. Theirs were down in the, like, 5 to 7 second range. So they were much quicker than almost anybody there.
Did that throw you guys off a little bit? Did they compete before you?
They competed throughout. I mean, you have 12 qualification matches. So we were with them one match. There were other matches we were against them. And just throughout the whole competition, like, based on how you do in your qualification match, you earn ranking points, and that determines your rank, like, overall. So it's kind of a continuous thing. Like the ranks are always being adjusted based off of how teams do. So
there's two degrees there. So you're the coach, and then you've got your participants. So when you saw that happening, what went through your head? At that point when you're, like, going, oh, man, that thing's sucking it up like a Roomba. What did we think of that? Or, I mean, does that run through your head?
Yeah. Well, that's actually an off-season project our team wants to do, is try and design an intake like that, because our team has never really done a good job of doing one of those types of intakes. So we actually kind of talked with the Cannon Falls team, and they said the same thing, like, we've never done an intake like that before. Why don't we work together? So we're trying to plan some times for our teams to collaborate and figure out how to do it. But yeah, that's always, like, throughout the whole competition, you're watching other robots and you're seeing, oh, that's a really cool thing. Why didn't we do that? That's interesting. So
now my next question is,
yeah,
you could chase them, you could follow them, or you could jump them. So if you're looking at that and you're looking at the intake, right, and you're, like, going, oh, that is so cool, we should do that. And you look to your team, and the team's, like, going, oh, man, coach, wow, we need to do that. Yeah, we need to do that. But inside your mind, you're, like, going, well, if they've already done it, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
And don't you, like, go, yeah, they did the intake this year. We're going to do an exhaust, maybe. I don't know if that's such a thing, but you know what I mean? Because, like, if everyone comes back to the same type of design, now everyone's, but now somebody else is going to be thinking outside that box a little, wouldn't you think? Maybe just a little. Or?
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing: the competition, like the actual like challenge that we have, is different every year.
Okay.
So what we can do now is, like, think about what are some cool things we saw, what are some things we maybe want to try out, and then try and give the kids the freedom to, like, try things out and build things. And if they have a cool idea where they think, hey, maybe that might be a little better than what they did, give them that opportunity to build it, test it, see if it works. And hopefully then if we built something that works now, it can be applicable to one of the future challenges, you know?
So you start in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So between now and January, there's a lot of time. I mean, there's 7 months between now and January. What do you encourage the students to do? To create stuff, do stuff, just go about their lives and wait till January. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's encouraging them to learn, do stuff, try stuff out. So like we're still meeting as a team a couple times a week. We got kids who are interested in, hey, I want to learn more about programming, and they learn how to code the robot. And we got kids that right now, we want to make a couple parade robots for the defeated Jesse James parade to drive down the street and stuff. So they're trying to like, how could we make a robot that maybe like spreads candy on the ground or something to give it out.
Got to remember, you got to get it close to the curb. Otherwise, I get a little annoyed.
Yeah, I know.
You don't want kids running out there and getting hit.
Yeah, exactly.
But, okay, so if you need an ambassador to ride in the robot, let me know. I'll be more than happy to sit in the back and eat candy.
Yeah.
So you still meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is not, is it sanctioned by the Minnesota State High School League at all?
So there is a Minnesota State High School League championship, and there it is like an official activity with them, but like most of our competitions are run through an organization called FIRST. So we're like kind of part of the MSHSL, but kind of not.
Okay.
And so like not all, like we don't have as strict a rules as some of the other activities have as far as when you can meet and when you can't and things like that.
So are you building in the off season? Are you literally... Are you already creating a design for next year, or are you building that now, or are you just kind of playing around, experimenting?
It's playing around and experimenting. We won't know what the challenge next year is till the first Saturday in January. So,
no clue at all.
Nope. Well, we have a theme. It's archaeology themed next year.
So they've at least said archaeology.
Yeah, but
so
that could
digging, right? That's digging exploration. That's what
it,
I mean,
it could be almost anything. That's the thing, is like every year we try and guess, and every year we are
wrong,
way off. So you just never know.
Let's see what the definition, the study of human history and prehistory through the excavation of sites and the analysis of artifacts.
Yeah.
So what are they going to make you do? Are they going to make you dig into stuff, or are they going to make you dig or take stuff and then figure out what it is? I don't know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a robot. It's robots. So it's robotic. So you have to have movement. You have to have something, right?
Yep.
It can't all just be analytics where, you know, it has some sort of a laser beam and it looks at something and then it just processes analytics and spits out some sort of, you know, document that says, and this is what this is composed of, and da 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 da, right?
I mean, I mean, the challenge almost always involves some type of game piece that you have to manipulate somehow. Like, so this year we had the PVC pipes. We also had some big rubber balls that we had to pull out of a kind of like tree-like structure and put into some specific places. So it'll be something like that where we have to manipulate some type of item, whether it's picking it up and placing it somewhere, whether it's shooting it. That changes year to year, and exactly what the rules are change year to year. So
do they tell you at all, like, well, if your robot could do this, you could probably win this, or you know what I mean?
Well,
because like, all right, so let's say you shoot something, and then all of a sudden this guy rolls in with this robot and it shoots whatever 5,000 feet. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, where's Elon Musk? Is he in the background? You know what I mean? And then, but is there multiple scoring opportunities?
Yeah. So this year, like I said, we had the PVC pipes. Well, we had to put this on the tree-like structure that I said, and like there, it, like you can think of like it was like metal tubing that comes up, and there's little like pegs sticking out all the way up,
like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. If you put a little tinsel on there, you might have a nice tree. I don't
exactly.
know. But the higher up you put, you were able to place these, the more points you got. And then the big rubber balls, there were two places to put it. There was one place that was down low that you could put it into like a slot, and that actually earned you 6 points, but then it rolled to the other team and the other team could score with it.
So they could pick it back up and put it higher.
Exactly. And then there was a place up high that we could put it that was only 4 points, but then that the other team can't touch it. It's automatic 4 points.
They get nothing. Yeah, so you get the 4 points in a way. So which one did you choose?
We chose the down low one, and actually we were one of the best robots at doing that. We were ranked first overall at being able to do that at our competition. We chose that, and then we also chose to focus on the PVC pipes. On the it was called coral in this competition,
right?
So that was like you kind of have to pick and choose what's going to be your strategy. What are you going to go for every year? And that's up to each team. They you got to look at what how you score points and kind of strategize as a team. Like, what do we think we can do, and what do we think is going to be the best thing for us to do?
When
give
do
us
you
the best chance.
When do you make that decision? During the competition or before you have to like handwrite it and hand it to a judge and go, this is what our
it's mostly before in just how you build your robot. So we build a robot that couldn't shoot the rubber balls up high, you know,
okay.
because we wanted to focus on other things. Whereas there was a robot that was right across from us at the pits in the pits at our event that they only did the rubber ball. That's like they were like, we're just going to focus on this. This is the one thing our robot's going to do, and we're going to do it really well. And they actually like they were either top 10 or were close to top 10 at the competition. So, yeah.
So, again, you have no clue other than archaeology.
That's the only thing we know. I guess other
when do they give you hints? They got to give you a hint. Somewhere.
They give a couple of little teaser trailers, but usually they don't show a lot.
In January, they hand you a portfolio and they go, and this is what you're up against.
Well, they have a big live stream where they show off what the year's challenge will be, and then they release a game manual that runs through all the rules for the year and how you can score and everything like that. So,
do they give that strictly to the coaches, or is like can you tune into that?
No, it's the stream is public. It's on Twitch every year. People can tune in. And the game manual is public. I'm not sure anyone in the general public would want to read through it because it's just a bunch of rules.
Boring.
But, yeah. For us, it's really
rules,
important.
Rules?
But,
where we're going, there are no rules. So when does that come out? In December or January?
January. Like the
so
day,
the
first Saturday in January is what they call kickoff. That's when the live stream happens. That's when the game manual is released. And that's when we start building. That's when we start planning and building.
So it's on that Saturday or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you watch that video, do you have the whole team right there when you're watching
it? Yep.
Do you guys like go, let's go. Let's get it.
Yeah, we break into groups and start planning and coming up with ideas. Like that first like couple weeks are just like come up with ideas, try and build a prototype, see how it works. And then after the first couple weeks, that's when we start getting into making actual real decisions about what do we really want to have on our robot. So
we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about then what does that mean? Because it seems like to me you've got engineers, designers, you've got, mm-hmm. you know, people that are more in that, like you said, programming, development, things of that nature. And, you know, how does a team come together like that and kind of figure out who's going to do what, who's going to take the lead? How's that going to all happen? I know you're the coach, but we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We're going to talk robotics here on this week's Raider Wrap. And stick around. We'll be right back. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more with Nick. And then we'll have more of Meet the Raider with Grant Selko coming up here this morning on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One KYM. And stick around.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. You tend to hear a lot about our developments at Johnson Ryland, but you might be curious to know that a good one-third of our builds each year are off-site. We can build on your lot or help you find the ideal acreage lot, lakeshore, riverfront, or golf course location for your ideal next home. We start with site planning and then go to design and guide you through the whole process. If you can dream it, we can build it. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Hi, I'm Adam Steffel, president of NCC Builders. Is your kitchen feeling cramped? Is your bathroom outdated? Or maybe your basement is just wasted space? At NCC Builders, we specialize in transforming homes to meet your needs, whether it's upgrading your kitchen, turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat, or converting your basement into a functional living space. We're here to bring your vision to life. Let's start planning your remodel or new build today. NCC Builders, transforming homes and building dreams. Visit nccbuilders.com.
The expansion was complete. Sarah walked through the newly renovated workshop, the hum of upgraded equipment filling the air. What once felt like an impossible leap was now reality, thanks to the team at Merchants Bank. From financing new machinery to managing cash flow, they worked with her every step of the way, making sure her business had the tools to grow. As a trusted partner, Merchants has helped businesses expand, invest, and move forward with smart financial solutions. Merchants Bank, fulfilling dreams since 1875. Subject to approval.
Northfield is a unique town with passionate people. So much passion, it can be hard to keep up. That's why, if you're into art, local politics, sports, or anything else, Northfield Public Broadcasting is here to serve you. NPB is a free public access local television station that accepts video submissions for whatever you care about. NPB is a reflection of the community that makes it. Does that include you? Look for Northfield Public Broadcasting on the web to watch videos that are free for anyone and everyone.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Your town, your life, your radio station. KYMN Northfield.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. And we want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to take a look at our archive here. We're looking into our inbox here, looking for any input. If you have any questions that you'd like to address for robotics or anything else regarding to Raider sports or activities, feel free to go to studio at kymnradio.net. Send us a quick little question, and we'd be more than happy to try and answer that for you. So with that said, we got Nick Connor in the studio with us this morning. We're talking robotics. What do you want to know about robotics? Do you want to know something? Send us a quick email, will you? It's studio at kymnradio.net. So we were talking before the break about the first week in January, they release the video on Twitch. They give you an idea as to what you're up against. The next year that you know what you do know is it has something to do with archaeology. What that is, you don't know yet. But in that first week in January, they go on Twitch. They give you a live feed. They say, here it is. Here's the playbook. Go. Okay? Go where? Go what? Go, what do you mean? Go. You're the coach. You've done this before. So to you, you have that's your job, direct them. But you got 35 or 40 kids, some of them very young, who haven't, they walk into this program and they may go, I don't even know what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you mean, go?
Yeah. well, I will say, this is my second year, so I feel like I'm still learning how to make this work perfectly. And our team would be the first to admit that, you know, it's a work in progress. We're still learning how to organize and work most efficiently as a team. But, first couple weeks really are, hey, let's come up with ideas. Let's prototype them. Let's see what we think works best. Let's see what we think doesn't work best. Let's look at the rules and see what we want to go for, right? Like, what kind of robot do we want to build and what do we want to focus on? And then after that, we get into actually, like, building it. And so our team is divided into four sub-teams. We've got mechanical. They're the ones that do, like, the actual building of the physical robot. Electrical, they wire it up and wire it up and get the motors like all set up on, we have something called a CAN loop, get them all set up on that. We have programming and their job is to program the robot. And then we also have marketing and their job is contact sponsors, write a newsletter that we send out to sponsors and parents and like do stuff like that and take pictures and all that kind of stuff. So we try and divide the groups, the kids up into subgroups where each group is kind of working on a part of the robot. And obviously these teams have to work together, because what one team does will affect what another team can do, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that like one thing doesn't interfere with another. But they kind of go through a process of, okay, let's design what we think we want. Let's try and build a prototype. Let's see how it works and make adjustments and then repeat the process all over again.
So if I'm a young student, right, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm the programmer and I got all kinds of vast ideas, but now you got your engineering, your mechanical team, and they've got to build this thing. So at what point, I mean, so the first week or two is probably brainstorming, right?
Yep.
What do you want to do? How do we want to do it? Hey, let's make it do this. Hey, how about if we do this? And all these kids got all these great ideas, and everyone's putting stuff out there. And I'm sure you get some bizarre stuff out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually you got to dial it down until everyone kind of looks at each other and goes, yeah, okay, let's do that. But in order for the electrical people to know what they've got to do, the mechanical people have to design it in a certain way, and the programmers have to program it in a way that it's actually going to function. So who starts? Who does what? How do you begin?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a bit of the challenge. The electrical and programming people will say they always get rushed at the end of the season, like, the mechanical people needed to get this done earlier. It's really...
In manufacturing is a fact.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So they kind of got to deal with it a little bit. Can't program it fully until it's together.
Until it's built.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's kind of got to be a bit of a collaborative process, because if a mechanical person comes up with an idea that, like, an electrical person is like, yeah, but wiring that's not going to be easy. You know, I don't know how we're going to do that. Or a programming person is going to be like, I don't like the motors that you're using there. That, like, I don't think that's going to work for this application.
Are you guys using some sort of a process software, just like you would normally? Like, you know, you have, so let's say for that instance, right? You've built this. Electrical comes back and goes, whoa, hold the phone, Chuck. I don't know how we're going to figure this out. Yeah. We need to send this back to mechanical or engineering, and they need to redesign something, and they need to put something here, and here in order for us to actually physically wire this. And then, is that a software? Are you guys using pieces of paper? What are you doing?
Well, one big goal, we've used this a little bit, but like our team is still growing in this area, is we would like to do a lot more CADing, like actually like designing the robot on a computer so you can see a 3D model on there, see how everything's going to work together. And that's a huge goal of ours to improve in the future years, so that we do run into problems later in the season less. Like, we don't get to the later in the season, oh, these don't quite fit together. Well, that could have been prevented if we had, like, CADed it out and had a 3D model. But it is a lot of, like, you know, trying to facilitate communication between different groups of students. Like, okay, you came up with this idea. You need to talk to this other group and see, is that going to work with them? Is that going to fit together? And if it's not, then your group's got to come together and, like, figure out how are we going to bring these two pieces together and actually make them work.
So who's the CAD? Is that a programmer or a mechanical?
A CAN loop?
The CAD. Using the CAD. I mean, that could be under programming or in mechanical.
Yeah, that could be anybody. And that's, we just would like a lot of our kids to learn that skill.
Yeah.
I mean, not only, like, to improve our team, but, like, that's a huge skill to go out into the workplace with.
Yes, it is.
We'd love a lot of our kids, anybody that's interested, whether you're programming, whether you're electrical, whether you're even marketing, if you want to learn to CAD, we want to support that, you know? And so anybody on our team that wants to CAD, and we have some kids that are really interested right now.
And you have software. You have the CAD software that you
use. We usually use Fusion 360. We've also used Autodesk a little bit. There's a bunch of different programs you can use.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that pretty much standard kind of stuff? The schools maybe use that same stuff?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the most common one would be, but Fusion 360 is pretty common.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, again, advantage-wise, there's no advantage to this one or that one. I mean, typically, I mean,
they're all just a little bit different.
Sure.
For our purposes, all of them pretty much work, because we're not doing anything like we're not building a spaceship here. You know, I mean, there's a lot of parts to it, and there's a lot of things that go into it. But
yeah, I don't know how much spaceship you need for archaeology. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You never know. Yeah.
Load up and get out of there.
Yeah.
You had 35 kids last year. How many kids are now moving on, graduating, moving to the next?
We have 7 seniors this year.
Okay.
So,
out of those 7 seniors, is there anyone continuing into the engineering manufacturing group? Are they going into robotics, do you know?
Most of them are, like, going into a related field, or at least that's what they think right now. I mean, who knows? When you get to college, things often switch, but most of them are. And I, off the top of my head, I think it's at least five or six of them have, like, that's a real strong interest of theirs is to continue with this. Whether it's programming or, you know, some type of engineering or, you know, some type of like getting into a trade or something like that, you know? It's really big with all of our kids. And like, I think the overall statistics for FIRST, which is the organization we're part of, is something like 81% of FIRST alumni go into a STEM field.
Okay.
It's like a lot of these kids.
So this is not only can be something that's entertaining, fun, something to do, but if it is a passion of yours, it helps you to develop into that and gives you an opportunity for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you telling me you can learn stuff in school and be good at it?
I think so.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't
know. That's what education must be about. Yeah. I should have went to school. No, just kidding. So with that said, with the 40 kids and whatnot, is there... Are all 40 of them going to be working now between now and January? Can I be a part of this? You said you meet once in a while. Is it okay? Maybe I want to check this out before January.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I just want to know, is this an interest of mine?
Yeah.
Can I just participate?
Yeah, absolutely. We accept any high school, so we're a high school team. We accept any high school student who wants to come and check it out. We have kids who will come for 2 weeks and then they're like, I'm more interested in other things. And that's great, you know, that's fine. And then we have kids who check it out and it becomes like the thing they're obsessed with and the thing they do in high school, you know. It becomes their, like, this is really what I want to do. We meet every Tuesday and Saturday. Any high school student who's interested can come and check it out. I'd say maybe they should come talk to me first and just see, like, hey, what are you doing this Saturday? Because there will be some days here in the off season that we're just like organizing our room, which, I mean, maybe you're interested in that, but maybe not the most fun thing to come for your first day,
right?
You know?
Right.
So,
hey,
yeah.
All right, you grab the broom. What?
Yeah.
I wanted to engineer. Yeah. Well, engineer that dust into that basket. So, but today, I mean, 63 degrees, sunshine, beautiful. Who wants to clean?
Yeah.
But do you got anything going on today?
Yeah, there's kids at the school right now.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, with some of the other team mentors working on a couple projects.
Attaboy, you snuck out.
Projects,
nice,
yeah.
So you got out of cleaning. That's why you're in charge.
Yeah.
How do they get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of someone to talk about this, to be a part of this?
So my email is nconnor, so nconnor, at northfieldschools.org. You can also go to the high school activities website, and under clubs you'll see robotics, and it has more information there. We're actually working right now to revamp our website, so that should be out new, but still got the information there on the old one right now. And either of those would be a great way to reach out.
So I'm going to wrap this up real quick with you. So you had the 13th best score, entered 25 out of 46. Is there goals or anything like that going for next year? And then what's next? Are you guys done for this pretty much the season? Or by participating in that, is there any more events that you guys get to participate in?
So unfortunately, we didn't quite make the cut for the MSHSL championship. There's a point system where how you do in your competitions earns you points and the top teams go. So no more full competitions, but like I said, we're going to be meeting here. We're going to do some collaborations with the Cannon Falls team, maybe some collaborations with the Byron Robotics team as well, who we have a connection with. We have a summer camp for middle school students in the end of June. I think it's the week of June 16th, that we'll have high school kids there working on that. In September, we start like meeting again, and that's what we call our preseason, where we recruit new members, we get them into the shop, and get them doing stuff and learning stuff.
Well, awesome. Well, Nick, thanks for coming in again. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come back in here, and I'm glad I was able to get you out of cleaning. So that was a good time. But thanks for coming in and talking about robotics. I mean, like I said, as long as I've been here, I didn't even know we had a robotics team that's been around that long.
Yeah.
It's been like how many years now?
15 years
15
now.
15 years you've had a team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is kind of the first that we've had the opportunity. So thank you. But we're gonna make this an annual event.
Yes,
I
definitely.
Hope.
Yeah.
I'd
yeah.
like to make this an annual event. It sounds like fun. Sounds like something that, you know, can be exciting. I looked at online, if you go to like a robotics competition and you've got this huge arena and you've got, it's like a three-ring circus. I mean, there's robots everywhere and, you know, they're competing down here and here and over here and over here. And then there's stuff going on all the time, just like a big circus. But it's just all these kids from all these schools. I mean, how many? So there was 47 teams. Was there literally 1,200 kids there?
I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it had to be close to that. You know, there's kids going around everywhere. And if you go down to the pits are an area where every team has like a 10 by 10 area to keep the robot and do repairs. It's just packed. Kids everywhere talking to each other, collaborating with other teams. It's a really cool thing to see. And I have never quite experienced anything quite like it. So,
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Nick, again, thank you for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me.
All righty. That is Nick Connor, the head coach. So again, nconnor@northfieldschools.org. If you're interested, if you have a child that's interested, that, you know, they're always fiddling around the house trying to figure stuff out, and they're like trying to, you know, stick stuff in the outlet when they're not supposed to, and, you know, just different things like that. They've got that mind, you know what I mean? That inventive, creative kind of a mind. Have them reach out to Nick Connor and see about if robotics is for them. So something to do. nconnor@northfieldschools.com. Nick, thank you again so much. We're going to take a break. We got Meet the Raider coming up with Grant Selko in just a minute. You're listening to the Raider Wrap here on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One, KYMN.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
This is Beth from ServiceMaster by Iyett. We pride ourselves on being a locally owned company specializing in residential, janitorial, commercial, and disaster restoration services. On call 24/7, ServiceMaster by Iyett has a proven track record of being on site within 2 hours should you have a disaster strike your family or your business. At ServiceMaster by Iyett, we look forward to earning your business. Call us today and demand the yellow van.
Demand the yellow van. Master.
Caitlin here from Just Food Co-op, your community-owned grocery store in Northfield. Here at Just Food Co-op, we sell the best produce, local meats, eggs, and dairy products. In addition to healthy food, we also have the highest quality fish oils, vitamins, supplements, and natural body care for you and your family. You are welcome at Just Food Co-op, open every day, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Water Street in downtown Northfield. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
Hello, I'm Wendy here at KYMN, starting your weekends with music, beginning at 6 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Tune in again Sunday nights at 6 for an hour of fine music on Fine Tune, right here on The One.
Hey! What up? Today is May the 3rd. I hope you had a great May Day. Does anyone remember the May Day celebration where you take the candy and you put it on the step and you knock and you run and then you run around the house and if they catch you, they kiss you and that fun stuff? I don't know. Is that a tradition today? I'd be interested to find out. Hey, KYMN Radio, just studio at kymnradio.net. All you got to do is send us an email and share your story. Are you rooting for anybody in the Kentucky Derby today? Who are you pulling for? Where do you put your money? Studio at kymnradio.net. Or if you have any questions regarding anything in particular, studio at kymnradio.net. It's pretty simple. Just, you know, everyone's got their telephones that disguise themselves as a home computer in their pocket, I'm pretty much sure. So send us a question. If you got a question, send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, going on today, sunshine. That's what I know. Plenty of sunshine. A high today of 62. Tonight, mostly clear, cooling off to only 43. Tomorrow, sunshine. A high of 74. And for Sunday night, looks like mostly clear skies, 47. Monday is going to be glorious, 72 and sunny. Tuesday, they're calling for sunshine and 77. Wednesday, they're calling for sunshine and 71. Thursday, they're calling for sunshine and 72. And Friday, they're calling for sunshine and 76. How about them apples? Then again, last week, they said it was going to be raining and horrible on Saturday afternoon. Sunday, Monday, we're going to have these horrific storms. We're going to get buried. We're going to have the floods. Noah has to build an ark. Didn't happen. So for today, anyhow, we're going to enjoy what sunshine we have. Grant Selko joins us on our program this morning. How about that sunshine? What are you going to do in the sunshine today, Grant?
Well, today I have a lacrosse game at 1:30 at home.
Who are you playing?
And we are playing Eastview and Apple Valley. They have a combined team because Apple Valley lost a couple players. And then Eastview still got a strong program, so they just decided to combine the two schools.
I do know that Eastview typically, at least in hockey and basketball and things like that, usually represent pretty well. Have you played these guys before? Are they any good?
Yeah, so they've had our number every single time we played them. But this year, they lost a couple seniors. They had a goalie who went to college. He was ranked 8th best goalie in the state. So he's gone. A couple of solid offensive players are gone, and their main guy on offense this year, his name's Carter Harris. He's a D1 commit. He tore his ACL the first game of the season, so he's gone for the season. And we're looking to capitalize on the younger players that are having to step up this game and hopefully come out with a win this time.
So, lacrosse. I mean, it's an up-and-coming sport. It's one of the fastest-growing sports. I think soccer and lacrosse both. I think lacrosse is actually a more of a growing sport. Why did Grant Selko get into – when did you get into lacrosse?
Yeah, so it's kind of a normal story, I'd say. My brother decided to pick up the sport because he just didn't like playing baseball. That kind of just what happens sometimes. So he picked up the sport when he was in middle school, and I was always looking up to my brother. Like, whatever he did, I did. Same thing with football. He played football, I played football. So I saw him play, and I was like, why don't I try it? And so, yeah, basically that's what happened.
And then was that in middle school that you kind of
He was in middle school. I was a third grader.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you started playing lacrosse as a third grader.
Yes.
Wow. So equipment-wise, I mean, is it an expensive sport?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an expensive sport. You got to pay for a $200 helmet. Sticks can go up to $300.
Ouch.
But the pads, they're kind of a total of pads, probably another $100 other than that. And then cleats, $100-something.
So then, of course, somebody has to pay for that.
Yeah.
Would that be mom and dad?
It would be, but they have been having me pay for a little bit of my new sticks because new sticks aren't necessarily a necessity. They're just nice to get fresh new sticks. So sometimes they have me pay 50% of the cost of those.
So how many kids are in your family?
Yeah, I'm in a family with three boys. I'm the youngest, so five people total.
So no sisters?
No sisters.
It's all boys. It's all male. Testosterone going on in there. How's mom handling that? She's okay with that?
She's always said that she'd rather have three boys than three girls. So I don't know if she's saying that to make us feel better.
Right.
But
let me guess. There is no favorite. You're all loved the same.
there's kind of a joke running around our family that I am the favorite,
hey!
But it's just because I'm the youngest, like the stereotype, whatever.
Yeah.
But they always make jokes about that and stuff. But I do think we are pretty equal, and we see that. So.
So did you grow up here in Northfield?
Yeah, I've grown up in Northfield my entire life.
Family was here the whole time? Or?
No, my family, so my dad's from a random town out in the middle of nowhere, like an hour north of the Twin Cities called Plato. He lived on a farm. My mom lived in Cannon Falls, and they met at Winona State University, and they lived in Farmington for a couple of years and then moved to Northfield.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So what do they do?
My dad's a consultant for a company in the Twin Cities. He travels states to countries, helping people with their financial and like accounting stuff. And my mom is a substitute teacher.
I better make note of that. And your mom?
My mom is a substitute teacher at Greenville.
Okay. Did you have to just, was she, did you have to go to school? And did, was she a teacher?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes she was a teacher for me.
How'd that work out? Did you get straight A's in that class?
Like, she was, it was really weird because I wouldn't call her Mrs. Selko, I'd call her mom. And it just was like a weird dynamic because I kind of felt like she was picking on me a little bit because I was her son, but it was kind of a long time ago. So
what, do you remember what class you were in?
I think it was fourth grade and fifth grade. She would sometimes come in.
So she's a substitute, so yeah. It wouldn't be all the time. But yeah. Was it math? Was it English?
So elementary school, you just have one class, and you just learn everything, and just have one teacher. So
okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Because when I grew up, we had a first grade teacher, a second grade teacher, a third grade, and we actually switched classes.
We did do that.
You know, like math, we'd go to this teacher.
Yeah.
History, you'd go there because they were better at it or mm-hmm. whatever.
We did that fifth grade year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit. So then she wasn't there in the fifth grade.
Yes.
So it was just the fourth grade that you had to...
Well, she would substitute here and right. there. So right. not every single day, but...
Right, but now you're in high school,
mm-hmm.
right? Junior?
Yes, junior.
So junior, so you got this year, next year, whatever. She doesn't substitute in the senior high?
Just Greenville.
Okay, mm-hmm. gotcha. So when you were growing up, and obviously in third grade, you took up lacrosse. Was there anything that the young Grant thought about in life at third grade that maybe you continue to think about now that you're a junior in high school that, you know, you were driven by or passionate about back then that you continue to do and that you maybe you think about or in life you know, it's a focus or it's a passion? Or is there anything that, you know, like you thought growing up that these are certain things that I'd like to do? These are some events and some different things in life that I like to do. Is there anything that moved you or motivated you as a kid?
Yeah, so I've always been told, and now I like understand that I'm just a very competitive person. So if it's like any small little thing, I gotta win or do whatever, and that eventually that competitive nature when I get into sports, it made me drive to be better so I can win in that sport. But eventually I realized I like playing the sport. And when I realized that it's like my really like true passion to play lacrosse, it makes it so much easier to want me to move forward and get better in that field and eventually hopefully like play collegiately.
Are you then by understanding that you love to play it, you're highly competitive, and I'll be right straightforward. I mean, does that affect, do you push your teammates more or do you realize that, hey, that's my goal, that's my thing, and I have to, you know, contain myself within that? Or do you believe that that is something that you can then share with others and then they can look and they can say, hey, I love his passion, I love what he's doing, I love the fact that he loves the wind, and maybe, you know, they kind of, you know, mirror that type of competition.
Yeah, 100%. I've been chosen as a captain this year, so I like to kind of lead through that example of like we're here to win games and we are here to get better every single day and not just play the sport like willy-nilly, you know. So I do like to like show my competitive nature, but at the same time I don't want to like get on these guys about every little thing. So
I was going to say, where's the fun come in? There's got to be some fun. Not willy-nilly. I understand the difference between willy-nilly and fun and be competitive. There is a fine line. And so some people might misinterpret that. But the reality is competition is competition. But you don't have to be so stone cold hard-nosed that you're kind of a jerk.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I remember a guy that I played sports with or whatever. And he was a jerk. Period. I mean, that's what he was. I mean, he was good at what he did. Wasn't the greatest, but he was good. But his level of competition was, you know, he was over the top. It was like, dude, relax. We're getting beat by 47 points. Let's just take a break. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, and have fun.
There's a time and like place, I believe, but one lesson I learned from lacrosse is that when you're playing, everyone's playing at their hardest, and everyone's focused, and everyone's putting like whatever max effort. That is when I have the most fun. It's just like you're flying around the field basically, and you're just, it's hard to have fun when everyone's making small little mistakes and stuff that like just like. That we won't be able to do well. And I think everyone could most people could agree with me on that, that when we're all on our A game, we are having the most fun together.
Anything else that you like doing other than lacrosse?
Well, I do run in the fall for the cross country team. I have enjoyed running for the most part. I've disliked it until I've kind of gotten roped into it. Like
who got you?
So all my friends, a lot of my friends are in cross country, and I'm like, I don't do anything in the fall. And then I hated the summer practices. I'm like, am I going to really do this? I still sign up, and I do pretty well my first couple meets, and then I enjoy like getting better over time, and that's just like what I've enjoyed in that sport.
Anything else that you like doing? You like cooking, cleaning? What's your favorite food?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm quite the chef, but I do like to make myself pasta before games because it's just a great thing to feel your body for. But other than that, I'm not much of a cook.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite study?
Favorite study? I've been really into history this year. It's very fascinating to me, even if it's not something that's going to be valuable for any jobs moving forward. It's just such a cool thing to learn about.
Well, you gotta know your past before you can proceed into the future. That's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. So understanding that is important. Mm-hmm. You know, what was done, what mistakes were made, what good things were made, what developments were made. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good too. History is actually, you know, kind of, that's exactly what it is. It's a learning lesson for life and where you got to go. So not a bad study to be passionate about. So that's kind of cool. So have you talked to any colleges at all?
Yeah, I've been communicating with Aurora University in Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. They're D3 lacrosse. They are just wrapping up their season pretty soon here in their playoffs. They're doing pretty well. And I've been in contact with Illinois Wesleyan. They're pretty close to Aurora. They're not in the same conference, but they do play each other because it's kind of an easy game to get to. You just drive like 30 minutes. Like 30 minutes. And they're also pretty good, and they're having a great season as well.
Are you talking with them, or are they talking with you? You know what I mean? Like, did they knock on your door?
Yes. Yeah, so I've sent hundreds of emails to random colleges, and some of them I've talked to, and then like, this isn't for me. And then some of them haven't responded. And then the ones that have responded, I like get on a phone call with them, and I understand their coach a little bit, and I look at their college and see if they're like the majors I like. And so far I've had like three. I have been in contact with Dubuque University, but not as much anymore because they don't have the majors I've kind of liked. But so yeah, I talked to them first, and then they talked to me on like a phone call.
What's the major?
I'm looking to major in something like finance or accounting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like your dad.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interest of you. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you're good with numbers?
I'd say so, yes.
How's your bank account? Got a big bank account right now? Or?
Not big, but it's...
It's growing?
It's growing.
Besides working part-time at KYMN, what else do you do? Do you have another job?
Yeah, in the summer I paint dorms at Carleton. And it's only in the summer, which is really nice because my school year gets pretty busy and pretty packed. But in the summer, yeah, I've worked for the paint doctor. They're a local business.
Well, the good thing is when you go to college, that's a lucrative opportunity to make money for yourself because I know that in college years and stuff like that, when my brother, same thing. Like, we all kind of painted because everyone needs one, and especially during the summer, it's super ultra busy. And if you're outdoor painting, it's not so bad.